In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The last will be first, and the first will be last. As there are only two religions in the world, so there are only two kinds of hearts in the world. The first heart is seen in those who are hired first. They have a verbal contract to work a full day for a denarius. So they enter the vineyard early, knowing that after a hard day's work, they will receive what the master has agreed upon. They toil and labor under the scorching sun and the burden of the day, but it's that denarius that keeps them focused. If they do their part, the master will do his part. These are they who outwardly call themselves Christians. They go to church regularly. They read the scriptures. They pray daily. And they are kind, generous, and loving toward all. What they do is not the problem, but why they do it. They want that denarius. I do something, God does something. Notice who is moving first. I am. Cause and effect. I am the reason that God is giving me something. So because I pray, God answers. Because I confessed my sin, God forgives. Because I tried my best, he gives me a clear conscience. Because I'm generous and kind, I should have peace in my life. Because I've done all the right steps, I should also have financial stability. Notice I am the one who is causing God to act. This is not grace. This is arrogance before God. Not arrogance before men, I'm better than you, but arrogance before God, demanding that God does something because I have fulfilled my end of the bargain. They expect God to be gracious, now and hereafter, because they have done what God has asked them to do. The second type of heart is seen in those who were hired last. They have no contract with the master. They enter the vineyard only because the master told them to go. So their focus is not on any reward or payment, no denarius. Their focus solely is on the goodness of the master. They do not expect a reward. They expect only his generosity. So it's that goodness that keeps them focused. They also are Christians. They also pray regularly, attend church, read the scriptures, and are kind, gentle, and loving toward all. Why do they do it? Because their master is good. They're not trying to get something either now or hereafter. They live and work solely because their master is good. He gave them meaning and purpose for their lives when he called them out of the world and into his vineyard. They love because he first loved them. It's still cause and effect, but notice who moves first, not man, but God. So they pray because God made a promise that he would hear their prayers. They confess their sins because God has atoned for all sin in Christ and will forgive them. They have a pure conscience, a clear mind, because of what Christ has done for them on Calvary. They are kind and gentle and loving because of Christ and God's mercy. And maybe even they will have financial stability, but solely because God is merciful. Either one is living his life to get something from God, or one is living out of love for God. There really is no other heart. So let us infuse in our hearts a deep love for God and a reliance solely on his grace, because he is good and merciful, and he promises things which no man has earned or deserved. We know that we daily sin much and deserve nothing but his punishment. So let us define that word grace. Grace is not something in us. Grace is not something that God puts inside of us. Grace is not even something really that God gives to us. Grace is something in God, and it remains in God. And yet, because God is gracious, undeserved love, there is an action that follows. So his grace leads him to send his son. So we see grace in a manger, 8 days later at his circumcision, the blood that flowed from his brow on Gethsemane, the blood flowing from his side at Calvary, an empty tomb, forgiveness, a washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit, a feast of immortality. Here the grace of God is seen because we see the actions that grace has brought about. This is life in the vineyard, one of peace and joy and celebration. God and his grace doesn't simply give us heaven, but it puts us in a favorable disposition toward him. God loves us simply because God loves those who are in Christ. And so we live in that vineyard right here and right now. This isn't something that we are awaiting when we die and go to heaven. This is our present reality. We are inside the vineyard of God, whether at church, at home, at work, or at school, whether driving the kids around, working frantically, doing chores, or resting and relaxing. Everything we do is done within the vineyard, within God's holy church. God is the one who has called you out of darkness and into his light, out of the marketplace of the world and into his vineyard. Your status, your skills, your ability does not make you worthy. For the grace of God has abolished all worth. So it does not really matter what you do in this vineyard or who you are, but you live in accordance with where God has placed you. God gives you meaning and purpose for your life. He is the reason you get out of bed each morning, fold your hands and say, "I thank you, my Heavenly Father." He is the reason you lay your head down at night with the same words on your lips. You are not simply a cog in the wheel trying to receive some product. You are a worker in the vineyard who celebrates the goodness of your Father. Everything you do then, from giving a cup of cold water to a little one who is thirsty, to moving mountains, from listening to your parents to making millions, everything you do is a holy and divine work because it's a work authorized by God. It's a work done in the vineyard of God. Your relationship with God, therefore, is built on his grace, not on the results that you can achieve. But like Israel, as we look around, we don't feel like we live within a vineyard. Rather, we see a barren desert. We work hard and our minds are still restless. We have no peace, no quietness. We showed love to someone and yet they've responded with a complaint. We tried our best, and yet hardships still afflict us. And we can begin to wonder what the point of all of this is. Why are we here and doing this if this God doesn't fulfill his end of the deal and provide us with some comfort, some peace, some rest? Israel wanted to go back to slavery just so they could have a drink of water. Our hearts betray us. We too want to go back to that sinful slavery just so we can have an extra buck in the bank account or an extra day to travel or an extra time to do what we want. Hearts are exposed. Like those who are hired first, we often find ourselves working for a denarius, cause and effect. We expect that if we do this, God must do that. How easily we forget that we live underneath the grace of God, in the vineyard of God. The results are always in God's hands, not ours. Our whole life is one lived underneath grace. He may bless you through your own work, and very often he does. But it's still a gift from his grace. And so we read in the Psalms how often David prays that arrogance would be far from his heart. He knows that phrase, that you who think you are standing firm, watch out lest you fall. Our minds are only one thought away, one word away from falling into work righteousness, creating some kind of contract with God. St. Paul also recognized that God allowed chronic hardship in his life to keep him from becoming prideful. And God may do the same for you. Cancer, disease, natural disasters, riots, things we see on the news, wars, or even a common cold or a fever that we have to endure. Unstable finances, broken relationships. All of these things are gentle reminders that we are sinners and we must live solely underneath the grace and love of God. So daily we must become last. Daily we must confess with Jacob that we are unworthy of all the mercies that God has shown us. Nothing is earned. Not one t-shirt, not $1. Nothing is earned. Everything flows from the grace of God who gives to his children as he sees fit. Yes, we still work hard, but the results are always in the hands of God. So do not be afraid of being the lowest, because the grace of God has abolished all merit. All are equal before him. All are saved through the blood of Christ. God takes away all arrogance and forbids you to exalt yourself or to think yourself better than anyone else in this nave or than anyone else in the world. God won't even let you think that Christ is better than you. For does not St. Paul say that you are co-heirs with Christ of eternal things? He is the eternal Son of God, begotten from eternity. We are sons of God through holy baptism, are we not? He is holy and righteous because he lived a perfect life in accordance with the law of God. So when the law and Pilate looks at him, it says, I find no guilt in him. Yet are we not clothed with that same righteousness through our baptism into Christ? He is the King of heaven and earth who reigns over all things for the good of others. But does not St. Paul also say that we reign with Christ? He is the great high priest who provides a perfect sacrifice to atone for all our sins so that we might be holy and righteous, free from all sin, death, and even hell itself. And yet, at the same time, are we not called priests of God, called to offer our bodies as living sacrifices to him who has redeemed us? Christ is the very image of God. But are we not also restored to that image through faith? Whatever the Son receives, so you also have received. You are made equal to him, co-heirs with Christ. Christ, who alone has earned all things and borne all things, you receive all things by grace. So let us be consistent. Let us depend on God's grace for all eternal things. But let us also depend on God's grace for all earthly things. Heaven is not earned or deserved, and neither is our earthly life. Everything flows from God's grace in Christ. We are always in the vineyard. We never step outside. So whatever you do, do it all, not for the result of earning a denarius, but do it all because you have a gracious Father who has called you out of this world and into his vineyard. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.